Unemployment applications were hacked in the state of Washington. The Parler app goes down again after censoring concerns. Back to basics with what is a router and what does it... And 5G results from around the world. All that and more next on The Computer Doctor Show.
You're listening to The Computer Doctor Show, your source for technology subjects affecting your business and personal life during this new normal. Your host is an award-winning office technician and IT specialist, author, tutor, ethical hacker, and recent winner on localbest.com as the best computer shop in Tucson. Broadcasting live, here's Aaron Moss.
Hello, Tucson. Welcome to the Computer Doctor Show, episode 31. I'm Aaron Moss, your host. Good to have you with us every Saturday at 2 p.m. right here on KVY, 1030 The Voice, and we post all of our shows on and bonus content on computerdoctorshow.com. Our open lines, 520-790-2040. Feel free to call in anytime with your comments and questions. We have an awesome show for you today. Due to some recent calls to our show, we discovered that we would need to add a new segment series for those that need help with the very basics. So we're going to be calling this series Back to Basics to help with all of our listeners with computer basics. Our final segment today will be Online Protection 101 to keep yourself safe online. But first, our top tech news stories this week. Tom Merritt at Tech Republic gave us an interesting world facts about the deployment and usage of 5G, such as the downloads are much faster. Here are some of the numbers. 5G will raise your upload speed by 311% on average over a 4G connection, but downloads increase by 854% from a 4G connection. The country that has the cheapest 5G plan is the country of Hungary. In this world, the early January 2021 was the equivalent of $13.40 per month on a 5G plan. That is the cheapest 5G plan in the world. So if you're trying to save some money, move to Hungary. Saudi Arabia users get the biggest bump. The 4G speeds in Saudi Arabia are about 84 megabits. Switching to 5G there, you'll get 921 megabits, more than a 1,000% boost in speed from 4G to 5G. But who is the fastest? Who do you think? Who do you think has the fastest 5G network in the world? Not who you think. The title goes to United Arab Emirates. Its 5G speeds are 959.39 megabits, just shy of 1 gigabit on your 5G network. But who has the widest coverage? Coming in on that is the United States and has the most 5G areas available with 8,050 regions that support 5G here in the United States. If you're unemployed and live in the state of Washington, you might want to check your credit reports in the next few months. The Department of Unemployment was hacked and unemployment information was leaked. Some 1.6 million applications that were filed in 2020 have been caused from an FTP software vulnerability. The software is used to send and share documents with other organizations without a cloud platform. The exact information that may have been compromised include full name, social security number, driver's license, state identification number, bank account number and routing number, and places of employment. To prevent yourself from being a victim of identity fraud, educate yourself on the latest securities and watch your accounts and credit history on a regular basis. The app that lets you say anything without censorship, Parler, tried to censor their former CEO, John Mates, from speaking out. The social media company feels the pressure as their no-censor policy backfires on false accusations of their own CEO. As of this morning, the Parler website is still not active but has a message for its visitors about the false accusations of the CEO that happened a few weeks ago. The site is now calling for unity and healing. Parler is taking the heat from the insurrection at the Capitol in Washington, D.C., and some reports saying that the app's absolute free speech policy can cause civil war. Parler can no doubt recognizes the damages and of inaccurate and misleading information it can have. There are no updates as to when or if the Parler service will resume. In this segment, we would like to call this segment Back to Basics. We've had a few call-ins to our show in the past weeks about some very, very basic questions. So although we speak about lots of highly technical things, we'd like to do some segments where we can just talk about some very, very basics. So in this segment, we're going to be talking about what is a router. Now, there are some people out there that don't even know what a router is. So I'm going to explain what a router is and what a router does. So a router can sometimes be confused with what a modem is. So in order to understand the difference, let's take you back out to the street. So you have the poles outside. They carry your telephone lines, your power lines. They also have your internet lines out there. So if you want to connect to the internet, you can't just climb up a pole and with a laptop and connect your computer with those wires that are on those poles because they speak different languages. Okay, so the language that is spoken on the poles is different from the languages that is spoke to on your computer inside the house. So that signal needs to be changed, and that is the job of a modem. The modem will take the trunk line outside, and it will change it into a signal that can be used by your computer. But a modem only brings us halfway to our goal. Once you have that signal changed from the street, you need to be able to use it for not just one computer, but maybe several different devices. One of the big advantages of when they came out with DSL modems and cable modems is the whole idea that you can be online and on the phone at the same time. That is because they had a modem that had the ability to split the signal, one side going to the phone and the other side going to internet. So that is what we call a modem, something that changes the signal from outside to a usable signal that we can use inside either for phone or internet. Now, sticking from the internet side, the modem usually only has one output. It's giving you one line of output so that it can feed internet to one device. But these days, people don't have just one device. You have your TV. You have your laptop. You have your phones. All these other things help to keep all of your devices connected. If it's just one line of internet that's being supplied by the modem, you need something else to split that internet line so that multiple devices can connect to that one line. And that's where a router comes in. So what a router looks like, it's a small plastic gizmo about the size of a cigar box or a jewelry box. It's usually black, white, or maybe charcoal color, and it usually has flashing lights and at least two wires going out of it. At least two, because it needs at least one wire for power and at least one wire for the incoming internet that it is trying to route out. So once you have that set up, okay, on the back of a router, there's usually additional ports to connect multiple units, okay? So these are Ethernet ports that are on the back. That is for connecting hardwire to other devices. You can hardwire your laptop, you can hardwire your desktop, you can hardwire anything else that will accept a Ethernet plug, okay? And an Ethernet plug is basically looks just like a phone jack, but instead of it having four pins, it has eight pins across. So it's a little bit wider. You've probably seen them before. And here is another misunderstanding of what a router does. So just to go back just a moment, just a little bit, the router takes the internet signal that comes from the modem, okay, and allows multiple devices to switch to it or to connect to it. And it will divide that signal up so that it is basically serving or feeding multiple devices from the one internet source. Now, with that said, the internet source needs to have internet service already coming into it. Just because you have a router does not necessarily mean that you have access to the internet. The router itself needs gets fed internet from the modem or from outside. Okay, so you have to have some sort of signal coming into the house. Okay, it could be coming from the street. Nowadays, it's coming, you know, with some of the modern conveniences of satellite internet. It could be coming from a satellite that's a satellite dish that's coming from like the roof of your house or from your backyard. It's got to be getting that signal from somewhere. Some sort of outside communication has to be happening or connection to the outside world. Just because you have a router doesn't mean that you're connected to the internet. Many routers are wireless. And when it's wireless, it runs on a radio signal. And the radio signal is based out of an antenna that is inside the inside the router itself. So if you are connected to the router, the signal strength that you see on your device, you know how it has like the different bars and different waves, and it tells you that you have one bar, two bars, three bars, and so on. That is just a measurement of how strong the signal your device is to the modem. It is not a measurement of how strong your internet service is coming to that modem. If you disconnect your router from the internet, but leave the power of the router on, your device will still have a 5-bar or excellent connection to the modem, but to the router. I keep saying, see, a lot of people get those mixed up. So you can still have an excellent connection to your router, but the router may not have connection to the internet. So if you're looking at your device and you're trying to load a website and it doesn't load, and then you look at your bars, you're connected to Wi-Fi and it has 5 bars, and you may say, well, I don't have internet. How is that possible? I have 5 bars. Yes, but that's only measuring the strength between your device and the router. The router itself needs to have strength from the internet beyond that and eventually works its way out to the world. So if that connection is broken, you're going to lose an internet connection, even though your device is still connected to your router. Again, the router is only there to split. Split is the best word that I can use. It allows multiple devices to use one internet connection. Now, for those of you that have Cox or Xfinity or AT&T Roadrunner or any of these services where they provide you with a box that looks like a router or a modem, what they will sometimes call that box is called a gateway. Now, this box, it has routing properties to it, but it also is a modem, and it is also the spot where they can shut off internet internally. So this one box that you get from your cable company, your phone company for internet usage, it fulfills multiple roles, not just routing. So they call that, they have an umbrella term for that, and they just call it a gateway. Okay. So if you call your, let's say that you lose internet connection, and you need to find out what's going on, you can call your internet service provider, whoever it is, tell them that you're not having internet you're having trouble with your internet service, and they may direct you to unplug your router or power cycle your router. What that basically means is just unplugging it from power, letting it shut off, and then plugging it back in, let it reboot up. And there is a boot time there. But sometimes they will call that device the gateway. And the gateway is just another term that they use of this all-in-one mechanism that does your modem and your routing and may have some other smart features that they're putting into internet systems these days. So I hope that answers a bunch of your questions. So sometimes we get some of these questions that come up sometimes, and I hope that answers some of them. We are going to take a quick commercial break. Up next on the Computer Doctor Show, Online Protection 101 on our open lines, 520-790-2040 for your questions on that part. You're listening to the Computer Doctor Show on KVY 1030 Tucson. We'll be right back after this quick break. Don't go away.
Perfect Look Photography is a photography business that serves individuals, families, wedding parties, children's parties, quinceañeras, and family reunions. We also do headshots for actors and model portfolios. We photograph all types of events in Tucson and communities in Pima and Santa Cruz counties. In addition, we provide more types of photos than any photographer in Tucson, including green screen, art photography, montages, and DVD slideshows. We provide great photos at great prices. For more information or to get a quote, please call 499-4209.
Ugly Goose Car Rental is new in Tucson, providing a low-cost auto rental alternative for just $100 per week. The only catch? The cars are ugly, but very safe and reliable to get you to work, school, shopping, and all your important appointments. To reserve your $100 a week car rental, call Ugly Goose Car Rental at 520-261-0439. Again, 520-261-0439. Solar is popping up all over town. Why? Because solar just makes sense. Say goodbye to expensive summer electricity bills. Call or text Julie Festerling at Icon Power, 520-307-1013. Avoid the new 7.9% price increase with the utility company. Call Julie at 520-307-1013. Icon Power will help you take control of your electric bill.
Computer Doctor of Tucson is the best choice in desktop support in Tucson. They fix error messages, power and boot problems, install of software and hardware, and much more. You can come to them, or they can come to you, or even have a remote support session so they can fix your issues over the phone quickly. Give them a call at 261-5508, 261-5508. Visit them on the web at ComputerDoctorTucson.com. Computer Doctor of Tucson, because technology is great when it works.
Welcome back to the Computer Doctor Show. In this next segment on this program is called Online Protection 101. Online Protection 101, because I am on a mission to keep the public informed and safe online and to reduce the victim count of online crimes. We're going to consider two or three cybersecurity tips today, and ultimately a book with all the tips will become available for purchase. The last time that we did this segment, we had a tip number 48, 49, and 50. 48 was to beware of links and emails. 49 was to know who your vendors are. And number 50, check for vendor vehicles. And this brings us up to tip number 51, and that is to invest in cameras. There is lots of different types of cameras that are out on the market today, both for your home and for other applications. You can have cameras put on your vehicle, both in front and in back. It comes in very, very handy if somebody tries to pull a I don't really see it that much in the United States, but what people will do in other countries, they'll see a nice car, they'll jump out in front of it, and will pretend that the car hit them so that they can file some sort of insurance claim and get some money. And if you have the ability to capture that on video, then obviously you send that to the insurance company and they can see exactly what really did happen. The other things that they try to do is with some of these scams is they will create an accident, involve you in the accident, and then have you exchange insurance information. Really, they were just trying to just get your information. So you want to try your best to invest in cameras anywhere that you feel that might be a place where you might be targeted. The doorbell cameras, the Ring doorbell, the other types of doorbell cameras. I think there's another company, Viasent, I think that does that. And they make sure that they are wireless. Wireless cameras are great. Even people that have turned around from being robbing houses, they have even said how much they hate seeing those wireless cameras because there's almost nothing that can do. Even if you grab them and rip them off the wall, the footage is still in the air. It still has met the servers. It's still been recorded, and there's nothing that can be done. The footage actually is not saved locally into the house, so it doesn't necessarily have to be, but it's safely secured in a secure location somewhere away from the house, and there's almost nothing that anyone can do to get rid of that evidence. So they always try to stay away from those wireless cameras, especially if you have a sign that says wireless cameras at your house someplace. So that is actually a great way so that you don't become a target. This is tip number 52, and that is to insist that your cards stay in sight. There was a incident where, unfortunately, it was at a Starbucks, and this woman had handed her credit card over to the woman at the drive-thru. This happened at the drive-thru. So she ordered something from Starbucks. She paid with a credit card. The girl took the credit card from her through the window. This was a drive-thru. Had her card in her possession for a while, ran the card, but kept the card, and apparently she took her personal cell phone, snapped a picture of the credit card real quick, handed the card back to the woman, and then she used the information on the credit card to go on a little bit of a shopping spree. This information was Starbucks cleaned up the whole thing. They made a statement. The girl was absolutely fired, but you could always insist that your card stay in your sight. And if you're running across some sort of scenario where someone takes your card for payment and then disappears into some back room someplace, okay, that's not a situation that, you know, you would want to make yourself. You can just say, you know what, let me not use that card. Let me pay cash or use some other card that you know is more secure or something to that effect. But in that way, you can prevent yourself from being a victim of credit card fraud. Okay, so that is to insist that your cards stay in your sight. Tip number 53 is to hide your router's SSID. Now, we just started talking about routers earlier in the show. So when your router is wireless and your router is putting out a signal for devices to connect to it, there's an identification number that goes along with that. So you can rename it, okay? So if your name is Joe Smith, you can make it Joe Smith Wi-Fi, you know, or something like that. And that way, when you do a search for the Wi-Fi, it'll come up as Joe Smith's, you know, Wi-Fi. And then you can click that and you can put in your password. But here's the problem. If a Wi-Fi, you know, nothing, Wi-Fi networks can get hacked. You know, if you live next door to a hacker, well, I hope that never happens. But these things can get hacked. They're not fallible. They have the ability to be hacked, but they can be hacked if people know that they're there. If they don't know that it's there, then they won't even bother. So there is a function in your router where you can broadcast SSID or not broadcast SSID. If you turn off the broadcast SSID, then when someone is looking for a network to hack, yours won't show up as an available thing to hack, and then they'll just hack something else, because they've turned off their SSID. So if you want to know how to do this, give my office a call, the 520-261-5508 number, and I can show you how to hide your router's SSID so that it doesn't become a target. So again, 51, invest in cameras, 52, insist that your credit cards stay in your sight, and 53, hide your router's SSID. We are always running out of time, but if you do want to help us to get a longer show, we need more sponsors. If you have a product or service that you would like to start or would like to us to reach out for us, for you in for your behalf, give us a call at thecomputerdoctorshow.com. My name is Aaron Moss, your host and technology expert. Tom Fairbanks is at the control board. Listen to The Computer Doctor Show every Saturday at 2 p.m. right here on KVOI 1030 The Voice. Stay safe, enjoy the rest of your weekend, and we'll talk to you again next week.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of The Computer Doctor Show. If you missed any part of this live broadcast, we post all our episodes online at computerdoctorshow.com. Remember, the world is getting more and more tech, and so should you. To stay current with technology, listen to The Computer Doctor Show each week for local and global tech insights. If you have suggestions for a topic on a future show, send us an email at info@computerdoctorshow.com.